नमो भगवते जिनको हिंदी में अनुवाद चाहिए वो पीछे बैठ सकते हैं. वन लेक्चर श्रील प्रभुपाद एसी भक्ति विदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद वॉज बॉर्न इन कलकत्ता इन ईयर 1896 एंड हिज गुरु भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती हुज फादर इज नेम्ड एज ठाकुर भक्ति विनोद had predicted that in the next century, in the next millennium, great personality will be born and will take the holy name and the message of love of God all over the world. In very few years in Calcutta, Abhay was born to Gaur Mohan Day and to Rajani. Was his mother's name Rajani and father's name Gaur Mohan. His surname was Day. Your Bengali is born in Calcutta. And Prabhupada, as Abhay, as a small child, he would get up in the morning by hearing the sound of bell, which his father would ring in the morning to do Mangal Aarti, the morning prayers, first prayers. The first prayer, the first service to the Lord. And he would wake up in the bed, and the bed only he would, like this, sit and see the whole prayer and whole worship in the morning. And that's how he was raised as a child, seeing the worship of Radha and Krishna. And then, as he grew up, his father encouraged him to become a devotee of the Lord. He would feed sadhus, saintly people at home in the afternoon. And after feeding these saintly people at home every day in the afternoon, he would request them to bless his son to become a devotee of Radharani. That was his blessing. His request was to all these saintly people to bless his son to become devotee of Radharani. In childhood, he would always look for the timetable of Vrindavan trains, Mayapur trains, and ask for the fare, how much is the fare. He would always dream of going to holy places like Jagannath Puri and Sri Vrindavan. And he says that in his life, in his book, it is mentioned. He says that his father was a pure devotee of the Lord. He had all the qualities of a pure devotee. And he fulfilled all his devotional requirements. Gave him a very good atmosphere, gave him very good culture, upbringing, love, affection, and made him into a very balanced, perfect personality. But when he became young and went to college, at that time, he was influenced by Mahatma Gandhi's independence movement of India. And he somehow got distracted from devotional life. At the age of 22, in Calcutta, a great sadhu, great saintly personality had come, named Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So his friend Narendra told him that, please come, let us visit this sadhu, this saintly personality. So Abhay said that, in my house, every day many sadhus would come. And many of them were bogus. They were not genuine saintly people. But still my father would feed them with faith. So I don't want to see another one. In this age of quarrel, I don't see any qualified people. So, no, this sadhu is very special. This is very special saint. Please come and visit him for 5 minutes. So his friend just dragged him. And this saintly personality was sitting on the rooftop, on the terrace. So as a custom was, when you go in the presence of a saintly personality, you bow down, you offer respects. So Abhay bowed down on offering respect. Before he would rise from bowing down position, he heard the sound that the great saintly personality, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, almost ordered him. He told him, you are a young man, educated man, English speaking man, intelligent person. You please take the message of the love of Godhead and go all over the world and preach. So Sabai was very surprised. I don't even know this person. And he's giving me an order which is like a lifetime mission. It's not just like, you know, go to Calcutta and bring some goods from there. The order was that lifetime one has to surrender to the mission of spreading the message of love of Godhead. So he said, no, I cannot do it. I'm married, just married, I have a small kid, family is new. I cannot do this work. At the same time, he felt that it is not important to spread the message of God. It is important to become independent as a country. Our country is now dependent. It is ruled by British people. And we are under their rule. First we have to get freed from that rule of British. Then we can do something about God. Otherwise, nothing is useless. Everything is useless. So at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that the rules will keep changing. Before you were ruled by Muslims. Now you are ruled by British. Tomorrow something else will. Tomorrow you will rule yourself or somebody else will rule. As time goes in the history, we have seen the rules keep changing. Who is ruling you? At the same time, whatever rule is over you, still death is going to come. Even if you rule your country, still you will die. Even British rule you, you will die. So the real problem is not who is ruling you. The real problem is we are going to die. And to answer the question, what to do, what will be our fate at the moment of death, that is the real mission of life, not to change the rule of parties. So at that time, Prabhupada, Abhay mentions in his that book that I was defeated for the first time in my life and I was very happy to get defeated like this. I was convinced at that time that the soul is in the cage of the body. The body is going to die one day, again to take birth. So what is more important is to solve the problem of repeated birth and death. That is the real problem of life. The real problem of life is not that we don't have money, I have a disease. The real problem is not that we don't have money, we don't have vehicle, we have a small house, I don't look nice, I want to look beautiful, or I want to take a bigger house in the village, I don't have that, I want to have a bigger vehicle, or my wife doesn't get along with me, my children don't get along with me. There are so many problems we have. National problems, community problems, social problems, international problems, terrorism. This is the nature of the material world, and the material world will be always presenting you with variety of problems. Material world is designed to give you only problems, one after another, and you think that we will solve them. Before we solve one, another set of problems arise. In fact, the solution to one problem is another problem. Like you give some medications for some disease and there is a side effect. Everything what you do, try to solve, that solution itself becomes another problem which we need to solve. So basic understanding of the scriptures is that the world is full of suffering and we don't belong here. So Jesus Christ says that don't be of the world, just be in the world. Don't belong to the world. Because the world is not your home. Your home is the kingdom of God. Same thing Bhagavad Gita says. Bhagavad Gita says, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. This world is temporary and full of misery. O Arjuna, you don't belong over here. So to rid the soul of the bondage of repeated birth and death is the real problem of life. Now at this point, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati convinced Abhay that you must work for this cause than for the cause of independence. And he said, I repeat again my order to you. You are an educated, English-speaking young man, intelligent man. Please dedicate your life for spreading the mission of love of God to all over the world. And Prabhupada felt, I just can't do it now. But he was convinced that he wanted to do it. Basically, he can't do it, it is alright. But he developed a desire to do it at the end of the conversation. And he was totally mesmerized by this personality. And he accepted him as his guru in the mind. And 11 years later, in 1933, Srila Prabhupada and Abhay accepted Diksha from Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. And then 1936, at the time of Diksha, again Bhakti Siddhanta ji repeated his same order, that I want you to go to Western world and distribute the holy name and distribute the concept of love of God and deliver people from bondage of birth and death. And then in 1936, his Gurudev passed away. After that, his Gurudev came in his dreams many times, telling the same message that he was given in 1922. The message was, please leave family and go to the Western world and distribute the holy name and the message of God. He still felt he was not ready. His children were small, he had a business, he had family to look after. And his family was kind of, not fully supportive of what he was doing. He had a chemist business, drug business, so he would travel to Bombay, to Calcutta, to various places, and he was working before in Bengal Chemicals as a director. Then he opened his own pharmacy, Days Pharmacy, and for that he would travel to Allahabad. We had a branch in Allahabad, branch in Bombay, and he was based in Calcutta. So he would travel a lot. And whenever he would travel back to Calcutta in his house, he would call people and he would preach them about the message of God, about the holy name, perform kirtans. But his wife and his family were not interested in it. They would not participate. It was like a one-man show. He would come and he would deliver his lectures and they would just go and family would not participate. It was fine. He was having a mission and he had a duty towards family. But one day when he came back from his one tour and he asked for the scripture called Srimad Bhagavatam, where is it? So his wife said, I sold it for buying tea and biscuits. It was a very important scripture. Srimad Bhagavatam is the important scripture in Vedic tradition. If you don't read anything else, if you have Srimad Bhagavatam, nothing is lost. You can get everything what you need to deliver your soul from repeated cycle of birth and death by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And they were like life and treasure of Prabhupada, Abhay Charan. So he said, why did you sell? He said, no, I didn't have tea and biscuits, so I sold. And that time she was drinking tea. So he said, you want me or tea? She didn't say anything. Again asked, you want me or tea? And then she kept on drinking tea without saying anything. So he got the message that she doesn't care. So that day again he packed his bag and he left. She thought, and children thought, that as usual he's traveling, so he'll come back. But that time he packed his bag for final journey, for good. He never came back home again. Because he thought that I have been supporting them my whole life, I have raised them, I maintained them, I raised my children, they are now grown up. And they are not supporting, it's also fine. But selling my scripture for trading with tea and biscuits is too much. And plus, I asked, what do you want? And she kept digging tree, so it appeared that they didn't care. And they were now grown up and settled, so he left. He went to Bombay, from there he went to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, he went to Mathura in Keshav Gaudiya Math. He got the entry into the renounced order of life. That is, he became sannyasi. He accepted the renounced order of life, which means by body, mind, and words, one is surrendered to the will of the Lord. And to denote that, there is a staff like this, the big staff which they hold in hand, which has got four parts: body, mind, and words, and soul. It represents that the staff, and you have to carry always that staff with them, wear saffron cloth, and preach the message of God, love of God. So he accepted that and he came to Vrindavan. And constantly, just before leaving his family also, he had got a dream. And his guru had come in the dream and told him that you have to go to Western world. Now he understood, finally, the situations have become ripe. Before that, his business locked. All his employees stole everything away, including the wall clock also. So he thought, this is Lord's arrangement. Somehow the successful flourishing business, suddenly everything was stolen by the employees, then it got closed. He laughed. He said, maybe this is Lord's desire for me to get detached. And then also he took the clue that this is Lord's desire. He is always telling me through my guru to leave family. So my family is uninterested. So it is a clue for me to leave. And then he came to Vrindavan. He went to Radha Manjushikumar temple. From there he went to Radha Damodar temple. He stayed for 6 years there. And prepared for going to the West. It is explained that in his time when he was staying in Vrindavan, he would go to Delhi very often. He had no money, absolutely. He was a sannyasi. And he would write a magazine called Back to Godhead. And he was writing the book also. So he would print that magazine and print the first volume on credit business. And he would stand on the road at 120 degrees Fahrenheit temperature, 44 degrees centigrade. And many times he has spent it on the road, standing and selling the books for the dehydration. But still, to raise money, he would stand on the road alone, old man, 70 years old. And still, the printer would always wonder that why this person is, you know, for what situation he is trying to do this. He's old man, he has, what worry, what mission he has got. Why should you take so much trouble standing at no support, no money, but still printing the magazine, writing the books and trying to buy paper on credit and paying off a long time, standing on the road and selling and collecting money, staying in a small room. Said, I have a mission to distribute message of God. And thus he completed his 3 volumes of Bhagavatam and he went to Bombay. And there he met Sumati Morarji. And Sumati Morarji was a shipping business lady. She had many ships, which the ships would take material from one place to another in the world. So he went to her and told her, give me a ticket on your ship. I want to go to America. He said, no way, I'm not going to give any ticket to you. Because you are an old man. It is very, very cold there in UK and US. And you will die there. And I don't want you to take any risk. Please stay in India. But he was determined. Every day he would go and sit on the steps of her office. And she would come in the morning and she would see him. And she would come in the evening, 5 o'clock out, and she would find him sitting there only. Swamiji, why are you sitting? I want a ticket to go to America. So she said, no, no, no. He said, I have got books. I wrote the books. Take it to America. He said, read for me. I will hear them. You don't go to America. I will hear them. Then after office hours, she would sit in the garden in his office and he would read Srimad Bhagavatam to her. And every day at the end of Bhagavatam reading, he would say, I want a ticket to go to America. He was so persistent, so determined. He had a vision. At this point, where we went to Radha Damodar temple, there Rupa Goswami gave him darshan and gave him instruction. Now is the right time to go. So he had faith that it is not that I am going out my own whimsical desire. I have been ordered by the higher authorities. God's messengers are giving me instruction to go and preach the message of love and free people from suffering. That time America was fully in drug addiction, hippies and hashish and all this marijuana and everything was there. Younger generation was very disoriented and disillusioned and unhappy, living homes and living alone. So finally, Sumati Morarji arranged. He said, okay, I will have one ticket for you in a cargo ship where the material goes. People don't travel. It takes months together sometimes to reach America. You travel in that cargo ship, very few passengers, only captain and a crew, only one passenger, that is Prabhupada, 70-year-old man, only 40 rupees, one bag of potatoes, one umbrella, one printer, and boxes of Srimad Bhagavatam copies. That was his wealth, which he carried from here. He had 2 heart attacks in the boat and there was no ICU, we have some ICU nurses here. There was no ICU, no nurse, no emergency medication, no first aid, nothing. He just tolerated what happened to him. He could have died. Not one, 2 times he had heart attack in the boat. And the second heart attack, he had a vision that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, had taken charge as a captain of the boat. And that time he had faith, he developed great faith that now nothing will happen. As Krishna has taken charge of this boat, I will reach America and I will reach my mission there. And at that time, Atlantic Ocean used to have 50 feet high tall waves. And that year, the captain said that I have never seen such low tide waves in Atlantic Ocean ever. Traveled all my life in the boat to America, and I see Atlantic Ocean has always over 50 feet tall waves. The ocean was very quiet. Very turbulent before, in the Indian Ocean, Arabic Ocean. Afterwards, it became very quiet, and Prabhupada reached Boston Harbor, the seashore of Boston. And nobody was there to receive him. There were no people known to him. It was an unknown land. And he wrote a poetry. I do not know why I have come here. I don't know anybody here. Oh my Lord, I don't know why you have brought me here. But oh Lord, I know that you have brought me here. There must be some mission. He said, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as per your desire. As you have brought me, please make me dance. I will dance as your puppet in the hand. And he entered. One year he was struggling in cold. He had no place to stay. He stayed in the Bowery. The Bowery means Ramotpatti. Bowery means ghetto. With all drug addicts and mafias would stay there. They would all be drunk and laying down on the ground in the morning till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Swamiji would get up early morning, 4 o'clock, and chant his japa, meditation. And he would have to cross them who were all drunk and completely intoxicated. Staying on the ground, he would walk through them, go for his morning walk, beg for alms, for food, and keep writing books in the night. He struggled for a long time with no residence, no money, no followers, no support. He didn't know how to go ahead, how to go about, but he had faith that my spiritual master has given me instruction, so I must follow the instruction and everything will follow if I follow my spiritual master's instruction. And gradually, many people started coming to him and he told them about God, told them about the holy name. He gave them prasad, he cooked for them, he served them, he gave them Bhagavad Gita lectures. And so many youngsters who were already left home, hippies, started joining him. And he started preaching them. And that's how gradually his movement took place. And the center came up in 22nd Avenue in New York. The center came in UK at today what is called a Bhaktivedanta Manor in Northeast London. Then they went to Europe. Then they went to many places in USA. And they established Rath Yatra, the chariot festival. And then he came back to India with all his shaven-headed saffron clads with staff in hand, dancing in Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kirtan. Before that, 30 years he had tried to preach in India and nobody became his follower. Only one person, Acharya Prabhakar, and no one else. As soon as he came back with dancing Western American sannyasis, so many people fell at his feet and became his followers. Then he established temple in Juhu in Bombay. With lot of struggle, lot of Gundaism, mafia activities. Then he built a temple over here, not less difficulties here also, so many difficulties. New people who are not doing any trade in India, they did not know language also, they don't know how to trade, they made mistakes. He had to teach them everything because they are Western people. He had to teach them how to dress, how to chant, how to eat, how to cook, how to offer, how to serve the Lord, how to establish deities, how to do deity worship, how to print books, how to distribute books, how to maintain temple, how to serve the temple. So many things he had to teach them. To ladies, how to wear saris, he had to teach them. Everything he taught them, right from scratch. From Western life to a devotee life of India. He had to teach them. And lots of difficulties. He had to travel 4 times across the globe. 14 times across the globe. He traveled 14 times around the world. And by the time he began at 70 years of age, and by the time he left the world, he was 81 years. In 12 years' time, he established 108 centers of Hare Krishna in the world. He had 10,000 disciples, many farmhouses, many goshalas, many restaurants of pure vegetarian food. Chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra established everywhere. Hare Krishna became household word. And thousands of books he had distributed to his disciples all over the world. And finally, when he left from here, Brijvasis were cursing him with bad words. You are a foolish friendly personality. You don't understand. You should not leave holy place when you are old, because when you will die, you will be dying somewhere else. And that's not fair. One should die in a holy place. People leave their business and all family attachments and come to a holy place to leave this world, so that they can go back to the kingdom of God and they will leave this world from a holy place. But he still went. He said, the real holy place is when you is where you follow the instruction of your spiritual master. In my order, in the following of the order of my spiritual master, is the holy place. He did. I mean, I would like to serve my Guru Maharaj's order. So he went and came back successfully, established centers in Mayapur, the world headquarters of ISKCON, birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually established the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in this world. He established the biggest center in Mayapur, established a big center in Vrindavan here, he made a great center in Bombay, and he came back to Vrindavan last days. 3.5 months he stayed in this place, where I took two quarters. And 3.5 years he kept on translating. You know what his schedule was? Every day, all throughout his years, from 1959, every day he would get about 1 a.m. in the morning. He would go to bed at 9 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock. He would hardly sleep for 2 to 3 hours. Whole day he would help devotees to manage temples and manage the business of temple and printing books and giving lectures and training devotees to many things. So he would get time to write only in the night. So he would get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and write till 4:30 in the morning, and all devotees would be sleeping. Then he would wake the devotees up. Then he would go to morning prayers at 4:30. Then he would give lecture himself till 9 o'clock. Then he would take his prasadam, take massage, meet guests, answer letters, do business like devotees asking questions how to manage. Whole day, and then he would travel from place to place, establish new temples like that. But every night, wherever he went in the world, whichever center he visited, he would translate books in the night. And he said that whatever explanations I have written, they are the manifestations of my ecstasy of love of God, which I had in my heart, is expressed through my books, through my explanations of the verses of scriptures. So my purports, he said, are my devotional ecstasies. So when we read Prabhupada's purports through Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, we experience that devotional sentiment that Prabhupada had of compassion and kindness. And today we have a beautiful place here, Ramanreti in Vrindavan Dham. Today it became very famous. It was in the middle of wilderness, jungle. Now because of that we have facility here, devotees come, stay in the Dham. We all are visiting the holy place. We have now, we are taking prasadam, lunch prasadam in Prabhupada's Gurukul. He also established Gurukul. Gurukul means it's a school. It's a Vedic school where children are taught education, curriculum, academics, along with devotional principles. The students here wear Vedic dresses, attend morning prayers. They wear dhoti and kurta like me, yellow color, and go to school. Listen to Bhagavad Gita and prayers, and learn their academics also, mathematics and science and geography and history, and are raised as children being educated with a devotional environment. So we have Bhaktivedanta International Gurukul here, where devotees from all the countries come together and study in a very holy atmosphere of Vrindavan. And we have Goshala, we have 350 cows. Prabhupada said cow protection is very important for a healthy, peaceful society. Cow protection, service to cow is very, very important. And service to cow pleases Sri Gurudev, also Sri Krishna, very, very much. So in Gurukul, when we established Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, where the higher principles of devotional service were taught in various courses, and many people became very educated, highly educated, to teach devotees about various scriptures and Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures also. So everything that was required to change people's lives from sinful life to devotional life, Prabhupada established. He established marriages, Vedic marriages, the principles of Vedic marriages also, gave guidelines. He got devotees married in the Vedic way, he gave guidelines to them how to live together in family life, how to raise children, how to educate them. He developed restaurants so that people can get a taste of eating vegetarian food which is offered to the Lord with love and devotion. He wanted to give taste to people of divine food, sanctified food, pure food, offered to the Lord with love and devotion, what we call as prasadam. So he established restaurants, he established guest houses for people to come and stay in the temple, he made life members so that people can donate money to the mission of the Lord, and in return come back stay in the temple for 3 days in a year, any temple in the world you can stay 3 days in a year once you become life member. So you can get pure prasad, food, nice arrangement, you can visit, stay in temple, attend morning programs, do your business in the daytime. So he gave a full culture of devotional life. He gave the world a full concept of how we can transform our living culture, which is keeping God in the center. In UK he was asked by one reporter, why have you come here from India? He said, I have not come here to make money. I have not come here to enjoy your culture. I have come to give you what you have forgotten. The culture of love of God. Many Indians go abroad to make money and they get attached to the comforts of Western life. I have not come here. I have come to give you what you have forgotten. A nice story I will tell you. He told that reporter that you people ruled us for 150 years. You took the Bhavani sword, you know, Bhavani Talwar from our museum. You took the Kohinoor diamond and now it is in London Museum. You took everything from us. But one thing you forgot to take it from us. That is devotion to God. And I have come to give you that personally and delivery, home delivery. So you took everything away from us. All our wealth, all our knowledge, everything you took away. But you forgot to take one important thing, which is the most important. It was good if you would have even taken those things with you, but you have not taken. So to give hand delivery, I have come to you. And then he gave that holy name and gave that love of God to everybody and changed their lifestyles. People were drug addicts, they were hippies, they had broken families, they were frustrated, they were trying to do some agitation. Unhappy, dissatisfied, trying to take drugs themselves. Prabhupada gave them life. Prabhupada gave them balance. Prabhupada gave them love, affection, happiness. And all those people who were drug addicts, now they are spiritual masters. They are preaching the mission of God all over the world. And lately one person said in Prabhupada's birth anniversary celebration that many great leaders, spiritual leaders come. And they establish a movement and they preach some mission, some message. But as soon as the great personality dies, the mission gets stopped there only. It doesn't grow. But here is the great saintly personality, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami. He left in 1977 with 108 temples behind. And today there are 600 temples. Huh? Whatever number of books he distributed, no. Hundreds of times more books are distributed already. So it's the only personality, the only movement we can see that even after departure of the great soul who established the mission has grown 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times, 6 times after his departure. It's like the time bomb, you know, it's like atom bomb. There's a binary fission. What happens is that once you break the, when you drop the atom bomb, it just goes on blasting and blasting and blasting and blasting. Doesn't stop there by one blast. It's called binary fission. It's a physics understanding. It just goes on. Fusion. So Prabhupada's movement is like that. Even today, Prabhupada has left now almost 36 years have gone. 35 years have passed. But still people are getting inspired by his movement and converting their lifestyle into loving devotional service to the Lord. Chanting the holy names, giving up bad habits, giving up addictions, giving up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and eating meat by killing animals in violence. They are inspired by reading his books. So Prabhupada said, I wrote books with so much of struggle in the night because I know even if I go, books will remain. And I will remain in the books. And through books I can still speak to people. So what is happening today is By reading the books written by Prabhupada, people are still changing their lives even after 35 years of his departure. And the disciples of Prabhupada are still full swing going in the world to preach his mission. And today we are really fortunate. We are the part of his movement now. We have received the message through books. We have not seen Prabhupada. But we have received his message and we have transformed our lives. So this is Prabhupada's place, Prabhupada's home. And you are almost welcome here. Prabhupada is embracing you with broad arms, taking you in his lap, accepting you as his followers and children. Please receive the mercy of Prabhupada. Accept prasadam, take darshan of the Lord, chant the holy name, live a pure life, and be successful in the mission of human life. What is the mission of human life? To develop love for God, to reunite with the Lord, to connect ourselves with the Lord, and be happy in the kingdom of God. When we will connect ourselves in this life with God, with his message, serve him in love and devotion, at the end of life, we will not come back again to this world to suffer. We will go back to the kingdom of God to enjoy with the Lord eternally. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.